Tripunsam prasanga etadre sarvatratra samavaha apishwaranam kimuta kramyasya griha chetasa sripunsa prasanga. Attraction between husband and wife, or man and woman, etadrik, like this, sarvatra, everywhere, trasam avaha, the cause of fear, api, even, ishvaranam, of controllers, kim uta, and what to speak of. Gramyasya, of ordinary men of this material world. Griha chetasa, who are attached to materialistic household life. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The attraction between men and women, or male and female, always exists everywhere, making everyone always fearful. Such feelings are present even among the controllers like Brahma and Lord Shiva, and is the cause of fear for them. What to speak of others who are attached to the household life in this mature world. Purport. As explained above, when the feelings of love and transcendental bliss from the spiritual world are perversely reflected in the material world, they are certainly the cause of bondage. As long as men feel attracted to women in this material world and women feel attracted to men, the bondage of repeated birth and death will continue. But in the spiritual world, where there is no fear of birth and death, such feelings of separation are the cause of transcendental bliss. In the absolute reality, there are varieties of feelings, but all of them are of the same quality of transcendental bliss. Sri Pung Parsanga Etadrik Sarvatra Trasam Avaha Api Shwaranam Kim Uta Gramyasya Griha Chetasa. The attraction between man and woman, or male and female, always exists everywhere, making everyone always fearful. Such feelings are present even among the controllers like Brahma and Lord Shiva, and is the cause of fear for them. What to speak of others who are attached to household life in this mature world? As mentioned yesterday, Orvamala Adakshakam Ashvatam Prahu Avyam Chidam Siyasya Parnani Yastvam Veda Savedavit. That there is a banyan tree and it has its roots downward and its branches are upward. And the Vedic hymns are its leaves. And the one who knows this tree is said to be the knower of the Vedas. In other words, what we see in the material world is just a reflection of the spiritual world. But this world is reflected on material desire. That's what exists on. As in the spiritual world, it exists on prema for Krishna. Now, as long as one is in illusion, then one has to take repeated birth and death again. As Prahlad Maharaj said, that Matirna Krishna Paratakshatova, that's a different one. Maharaja Shabda says that Parava, let's see if we can get the first verse. Nunam pramattak kurute vikarma yedendriya pritya aprinoti nisara manye yat atmanoyam asanapi kleshida asha deha. That nunam, indeed. So Maharaja Shabda was a little surprised. Nunam pramattak, that everyone is mad. in this material world. Nunam pramata kuru te vikarma. Because we're very much interested in performing sinful activities. Sinful activities means to follow trividam narakasyedam dwaram nashitam atmanaha kama krodha tata lobas tasmat etam trayam trajet. There are three gates leading to hell, namely lust, anger, and greed, and every sane person should become free from these three gates because they lead to the degradation of the self. So what people think is advancement in the material world, itevidu swartha katimi vishnu, is actually covering their consciousness more. So instead of actually becoming more happy and satisfied, they're becoming more anxious and bewildered and dissatisfied. But that's the nature of illusion. That what we think was going to be beneficial for ourselves is actually not beneficial for our real self, nor is it even beneficial for our false conception of life. Therefore, the material world is based upon avidya, or ignorance. Ignorance beginning with the fact that we're eternal, and that everyone else is eternal, and that our conception of love and friendship, security, happiness in the material world is based upon ignorance. Ignorance is that everyone is this little tiny soul in a big, big body. And these bodies are actually just coverings over the real self, and the real self by nature is blissful when it's in contact with Krishna. Just like when the spark of the fire is in contact with the big fire, then the spark glows, otherwise it gets very dull outside contact with the fire. So now we're in contact with the body, and the body has can be in different modes of nature, different levels of covering ourselves. As Krishna says, Dumena Vriyate Vanira, Itardar Shau Malena Cha, Itobena Avrita Garvas, Ita Tenedum Avritam. And just like fire is covered by smoke, or the mirror is covered by dust, or the embryo is covered by the womb, so the living entity is covered by different degrees of lust. So the fire covered by the embryo covered by the womb is compared to the animal species of life, where there's hardly any consciousness. The lower species, similarly with the mirror covered by dust, it means that, and also not as lower species, like the rocks are completely covered, but when you get into the animal kingdom, there's more a manifestation of consciousness. But the fire covered by smoke is compared to the human form of life, because if the smoke is carefully handled, then the fire can blaze. So our consciousness can come out in its original form. In any case, now we should know we're covered by illusion, and illusion will always be coming, will always help us, if that's what we desire, identify ourselves with these gross and subtle bodies. And as soon as we identify ourselves with our gross and subtle body, then naturally we identify others with their gross and subtle body too. And as the material world is a reflection of the spiritual world, so everyone came here to be an illusion. No one came here for enlightenment. If you want to go for enlightenment, generally you go to an institution where they're teaching something. Most people don't go to the bar to get enlightenment. So we've come to a place where we become intoxicated with our material identifications. And because of that, we have to transmigrate from one body to another. Prabhava-vastava-rabodha-jata yavan-jagnasita-atma-tatvam tavan-kriya-tavadidam-idam-vino-vai karmatmaka yena sharira abandaha. That as long as one is in the material world and pramatak, in illusion, trying to enjoy the indriya pritya, the temporary gratification of the senses, then although one may feel some relief from the demands of the senses just temporarily, still, it is all temporary. And it causes one to take one birth after another. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarma irindriya pritya aprinoti nesado manye. An intelligent person, what's really intelligent, is not having so many letters after your name, so many titles. An actual intelligent person who knows that gratifying the senses is not going to make me happy or help me progress towards the actual goal of life. Sadamanya yata atmano yam asanna piklesheta ashita deha. That trying to gratify the senses will simply make more an anxiety. Just like if you want to put out a fire, generally you don't pour gasoline on it. If you pour enough gasoline, the fire may temporarily go out, but then it blazes again, even stronger. So temporarily gratifying the senses means that they'll simply become more agitated. Prahlad Maharaj compares it to the rubbing of two hands together to relieve an itching sensation. Pungsa, Striya, Maitini, Bhavan, Evtan, Tura, Vridya, Granti, Mahu, Atogri, Shetra, Sitapta, Vitara, Janasya Moho Yam Ahangmameti. Pungsa Striya Maituni Bhavan Etan. Pura Mitriya Granti Mahu. Actually, that's not even Prahlad's verse. Anyhow, that's Maharaj Rishabhdev's verse. Prahlad Maharaj says that, Janasya Moho Yam Ahangmameti. How does Prahlad Maharaj's verse start? That the rubbing of two hands together to relieve an itching sensation. Pungsa Striya, that's the other one. And what's... Do you have your Veda base there? Yeah, there's Prahlad, the other one. One of the words is Tararya. Janasya moham yo. Let's see, that's the other one. In my tunaiti grihamedi sukham hitucham. In my tunaiti grihamedi sukham hitucham. Torar. What's the next one? In my tunaiti grihamedi sukham hitucham. That the happiness of the Grihamedis, sex life, is in my tunaiti. In my tunaiti. Do you have it? Grihamedi sukham hitucham. It's very insignificant. Tarara, like rubbing of two hands to relieve an itching sensation. You still haven't found it? Ananda? Yan, my tunaiti. Grihamedi. Sukham itucham. Taror. 7. Oh, we don't have the 7. Well, that's good. Yanmai tunaidi grihamedi sukham hitucham. What's the next word? Kandoryavat eva sukham dukha dukham. Krip janti deha kripana bahu dukha bhaja kandutivat manasivam eva san. Yanmai tunadi grihamedi sukham hitucham. Kandutavat korya eva dukha dukham. Tripyanti neha bahu dukha bhaja bhaja. Kandutivat. No, is that right? Kandutivat mansijam eva deha. So, material enjoyment is compared to the rubbing of two hands to relieve an itching sensation. Certainly, there's an itch. And if you rub your hands together, if you scratch the itch, actually there's some pleasure, there's some satisfaction. Until, as Prabhupada said, it starts to bleed, and then you get an infection. So there's some happiness there, but it's not real happiness. I mean, how many of us really looking forward to the next time we can scratch our hands together? Do we ever dream at night of scratching your hand? So it's not the greatest happiness. And therefore, those who can tolerate manasijam, and it says manasijam, it's a mental conception that this will actually bring me real happiness. Because in the material world, in a desert, one drop of water is happiness, but it's not very much happiness. We actually like an ocean of happiness in the desert, but if we can get one drop, then we think, at least I got something. So we're trading the ocean of happiness for the drop and thinking we're actually making some advancement. We're getting something beneficial. But this is called manasijam. It's a mental conception because it is simply a false conception. Kandudivat manasijam dira vishaheta dira. Then he becomes sober-minded. Just understand that. We don't have to understand, remember millions of verses. We don't have to understand millions of realizations. All we have to understand is that the temporary gratification of the senses is not real happiness, and therefore instead of simply trying to satisfy our material desires, we should try to satisfy Krishna, because in that way we'll become Krishna conscious. Do the same activity, but do it for Krishna. Here we're trying to imitate Krishna. Everyone is trying to become either Romeo or Juliet or Tarzan or Jane or Mickey Mouse or Minnie Mouse. But these are all just reflections of Radha and Krishna, that's all. Everyone's just trying to imitate Radha and Krishna, just like a little girl, she's only 3 years old, she can't cook. So her parents give her a little toy kitchen, plastic kitchen with plastic pots, plastic chapatis, and she's believing that she's cooking. Hopefully she doesn't eat the chapatis, the plastic chapatis. But she thinks she's doing the same thing as her mother is doing. So indeed it looks like it, but it's not the real thing. So here we're trying to imitate Radha and Krishna. We have our lila, but it's not the actual real lila. And the more one becomes involved in this so-called materialistic lila outside of Krishna consciousness, then the more one becomes covered. The reason why one gets the body of a frog or a snail or a worm is because he or she fell too much in love in their previous lifetime. And therefore they became degraded into the moral lower species of life, but they don't care. As Indra, one time he was cursed to become a hog on this planet. And he had a beautiful hog wife and a beautiful hog family, and they were living in a beautiful hog's pigsty. And they had unlimited food. It was being supplied daily by the people who lived by. And it came usually hot. And they were in bliss. They didn't have to work because they had free rent. No one ever came to bother them in the where they were living. They had free food. They had unlimited love. Unlimited sex life. And they could sleep as long as they wanted. No one came and bothered them. So this was a lot. They were in a hog heaven. But one day, Lord Brahma came and he told Indra that there's some problems in the heavenly planets. We need you to come back. He said, there's no way. Look at my wife. Look at her tail. Isn't that beautiful? I'm in love. I cannot leave. So Lord Brahma took out his knife, his sword, cut off the heads of his of Indra's pig wife, his little pig children, and he said, "You're next." And Indra said, "Well, I think I've changed my mind. I don't mind going back, becoming the king of heaven again." So whatever species of life we take, whatever our situation, we try to make the best of it, to try to enjoy to the maximum. Although there may not be very much enjoyment, there's a lot of suffering, but still we become convinced that this is the process of becoming happy. Therefore, one has to hear that that's not the process of happiness, that the real process of happiness, instead of trying to become Radha and Krishna, to try to serve Radha and Krishna. That the unlimited love affair doesn't exist in our temporary material bodies, that unlimited love affair exists eternally in the form of Radha and Krishna. And everyone who takes part in that loving affair, service, they also become a part of that eternal loving affair that everyone's looking for. When Radha and Krishna are enjoying the spiritual world, they enjoy unlimitedly. But those who are serving Radha and Krishna, they enjoy even more than Radha and Krishna. And therefore, Srimati Radharani is always trying to, she enjoys more when she sees the other gopis are enjoying with Krishna than when she's enjoying personally with Krishna herself. And Krishna is just happy when he sees that his servants are happy. So this is the exact opposite of the material world. Not exactly, because here we're infatuated with serving our senses, but we're not these senses. The senses is simply our deity, that's all. They become our worshipable deity, this body, and therefore we try to enjoy serving it, just like in the spiritual world, we enjoy serving Radha and Krishna and their associates. See, here we enjoy serving our temporary body, and in the name of service to others, we try to serve our senses too, either gross or subtle. Therefore, with some knowledge, then if we act, at least try to act on faith, that I may be an illusion, I may be identifying myself with these gross and subtle bodies, but still I should try to act on faith, that I heard that I'm not this body, and it makes sense, because the body is always changing, but I'm not changing, that this I'm being directed by a supreme person within my heart. He's trying to give me intelligence so that I can become realized that I'm eternal, that I'm by nature full of bliss. He's trying to give me good instruction by guru and sadhu and shastra so I can go back to him in the spiritual world and enjoy eternally. So at least on faith, we should accept the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, at least theoretically. We may not be realized, fully realized, but at least whatever realization we have, we should try to act according to that basis, as we have met a lot of realization of the futility of trying to be happy in material sense gratification. Those who are materialists, they have no choice. They have no alternative because they have no other theory. There's no other methodology they have other than to gratify the demands of their mind and senses. But at least we have some idea, some theory, that if I serve Krishna, there's a different level of experience I could have. At least we should have that much faith, that I should act at least according to that theoretical conception that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Prabhupada is his representative, and those who follow them to the degree they're following them, they also become representatives of Krishna. And that Krishna is the goal. Otherwise, then our minds are covered or they're already covered, and then we become more covered. From lust comes anger, comes greed, and then frustration. If you like that sweet ball and you eat it out of lust, then you become greedy for another one. And another one, until you can't eat anymore and you become frustrated. You feel sick. And then you start blaming everyone else. And you become angry. And then in the anger, or any delusion, then our anger increases and we feel ourselves a victim. We feel our lust, our greed, our anger is all justified. And then we forget who we really are, that we're spiritual beings, and then we fall into the material conception of life even further, and we become one a little bit more inclined to material sense gratification. Therefore, if we follow the path of devotional service, and somehow or another, Krishna becomes pleased to help us remember him, then the result is that we become a little bit more immune from the direction of the pushing of our senses. Apuryamana. Therefore, Krishna says that what does Krishna say? Sa nisha sava bhutanam tasyam jagrati bhutani yasyam jagrati bhutani sa nisha pashuto mune ya nisha sara bhutanam. So, nisha, I mean, what is night for all sentient beings is the time of awakening for the self-control. And what is night for the self-control is the time of awakening for all sentient beings. So most people they think that there's only one purpose of life, to gain money and enjoy the senses. And that's it, till the end of life. And somehow or another prolong life as long as you can enjoy the senses. And there's another class of people who believe that actually to become spiritually awakened, transcendental experience is actually real awakening, and that everyone else in the material world is asleep. And what is the methodology of a self-realized person or a person who's trying to become self-realized? Apuryamana machala pratishtam samudram apapravishanti yadvat tadvat kamayam pravishati sarve se shanti matnoti nakama kami. Person who's not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires. Oh, here it comes. That's the one I want. All right, get it. Go for it. That's what I want to do. No, the desires flow by. Here, come and enjoy. Come and enjoy. Come and enjoy. Now, wait a second. I tried that millions of times. It wasn't enjoyable. All right, well, try this one. Maybe this is the one you're looking for. Wow, that looks new and exciting. No, one is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter like rivers into an ocean, which is always being filled, but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives to satisfy such desires. So if one is full of Krishna consciousness, then Maya will come and say, come and enjoy, come and enjoy. But if we're already enjoying, then why will we become attracted by Maya? If we're already in bliss, what can Maya offer to us? And therefore, one has to practice, at least. Practice what? Vihaya kamayak sarvam, pumam sharati nispriha, nirmamo nirahankara, se shanti madhigachiti. Vihaya, we have to give something up. Vihaya kama, this desire for sense gratification. That if I become Romeo, or if I become Juliet, or if I become Tarzan, or I become Jane, or I become Mickey Mouse, or Minnie Mouse, whatever else we may think we're going to become attractive, so we can enjoy our senses, then one has to give that up, that conception. Vihaya kam yaksa pumams charati nispri. And all these mental concoctions, not only the pushing of the senses can only push so much. Then we eat something, and the senses is temporarily satisfied. Especially if your belly is all full, then one is not thinking about eating. But the mind concocts so many things, nispriha. Now I need a bigger house, now I need more cars, now I need more fame, now I need more control, now I need this and this, nispriha. There's no end to the mental concoctions that we can go through. Generally speaking, if the belly is full, the senses are filled, the tongue is satisfied, it's like you have a feast when they have 108 preparations. The first five he can figure out what they taste like. After that, it all becomes a blur. So after the sense, the tongue is satisfied, the belly is satisfied, etc., then the mind goes crazy trying to figure out all kinds of dreams. When it becomes full of mystic power, it becomes Superman or Superwoman, Batman, Batwoman, becomes multi-billionaire, all within the mind, just dreaming, nispriya, nirmamo. And then one needs so many things. One is saying, if I can get this and I can get that, nirahankara. And I have to expand my ego. I have to think myself great. This body is great. I'm great. Everything in relation to me is great. Shanti Madhu. And one gives these up, then he's satisfied. He's shanti. He's peaceful. Because there's nothing to achieve in the material world. There's nothing to achieve in a place where there's really no achievement. No one wins here. Everyone dies and simply gets the results of all their activities. In the next life, to again try to do something which is impossible, to become God. Therefore, Esha Brahma Sthiti Parta, Nayanam Prapi Vimuyati, Sthityasam Antakalepi, Brahma Nirvana Richati. So that is the way of spiritual and godly life, after attaining which man is never bewildered, and being so situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. So it's not that we're against household life, but household life is meant for spiritual advancement also, grihastha life. Some gratification is there, so one can realize that as one is practicing devotional service, one can realize the superiority of sense gratification, of spiritual life, devotional service in Krishna consciousness over sense gratification. Otherwise, if one does not practice household life, one is just imagining what it could be like. It's all a dream. How wonderful it would be. I get a wife. I'm God to my wife. She becomes my slave. And I live happily ever after. In my never, never dreamland. And then, of course, if one gets married, one realizes the wife did not get married to become a slave, nor the husband get married just to become a maintainer, to become an order supplier of the wife. So that's a realization which is good to have, otherwise it's all a dream. Matter of fact, that's what modern civilization is, creating a dream. You can become 007, James Bond, or you can become, you know, Peter Pan or something. It's all, so many movies, so many dreams are there, and people are actually enjoying the dream better than they are their own life. Therefore, they need these goggles to enter. They can't live in the world material. They say the Hare Krishnas are escaping. Here we're escaping from their dreamland. Their nightmare, which they're trying to enter into more and more profoundly, more and more consistently. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes. We have a microphone. Surprise when we ask for comments.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the class. I wanted to ask this attraction between male and female. They said it's normal, but...
It's not normal. It's normal for a conditioned soul, but it's not normal. Prabhupada said that it's household life means legitimate illusion. It's not normal, but for the material world it's normal. And therefore it should be not denied or neglected if one is too much absorbed in it. But it has to be utilized in such a way as to get free from it. The abnormality.
Thank you. This was one aspect. I wanted to say, to ask, sometimes or we have these sparkles of what we have to do with our lives, but it's only just a sparkle. Can we maintain those things that, like, we know that we are not enjoyer or the doer, or the Krishna is enjoyer and the Krishna is doer, and at some point we are again stolen, or that sparkle is like faded, or
therefore,
can we maintain that all the life will be like this, flickering and
forever? We can maintain it. They don't have any problems in the spiritual world doing it. It's not that they get up in the morning and they think, should I chant my rounds today or not? No, they're ecstatically happy to serve Krishna. So we have to, Krishna goes the whole thing, tells Arjuna there's so many problems, we're covered by lust, we're in illusion, we're being forced to act by their senses. The senses, mind, and intelligence, the sitting places of lust, it avails the real knowledge of living entity and bewilders him. But then Krishna says, Tasma twam inyanya do, niyamya bharatarshva, patmanam brajahiyenam, jnana vijnana nashanam. Therefore, Arjuna in the very beginning curbed this sinful enemy of lust by regulating the senses and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. The working senses are superior to dull matter. Mind is higher than the senses. Intelligence is higher than the mind. And he, the soul, is even higher than the intelligence. Thus, knowing oneself to be transcendental to material senses, mind, and intelligence, one should control the lower self by the higher, and thus by spiritual strength, conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. So we should take shelter of Krishna. Therefore we have Hare Krishna. We chant japa 16 rounds a day at least, hopefully. And hopefully during that time we actually take a little shelter of Krishna. And during the day we're also invited to chant Hare Krishna. So we can take shelter of Krishna. And if we do that, then we'll get the spiritual strength to maintain ourselves on a platform beyond the demands of the mind and senses. They may be there, but we won't be so much influenced by them. We'll be more inclined to take shelter of Krishna and to take shelter of our mind and senses.
Thank you.
Anything else? Yes.
Maharaj, this analogy of itching sensation. Whenever I set out to tolerate the itching sensation, I lost. I mean, that's strange analogy. Can you do it? I mean, I've never met a person who can in long term tolerate it and it goes away. So it's a bit strange analogy.
It's a question of Vishaya Vinivartante, Niraharasi Deinam, Rasavarjam Rasopyasya Param Drishma Nivartate. The invited soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though that taste for sense objects remains, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, one becomes fixed in knowledge. So we have to qualify ourselves to experience a higher taste. If we don't qualify ourselves and we just tolerate, then it's like when someone grabs hold of the jaws of a crocodile, tries to hold them down. They may be successful sometime, but then when we'll become tired, the crocodile's jaws will open up and one will get eaten. So it's not enough just to tolerate. One has to get on. Engage the senses in such a way as that they become purified. And the itching sensation goes away as the transcendental bliss is experienced. But that takes qualification. We have to become serious about assisting Srila Prabhupada and the acharyas in the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if we don't do that, if it's just all theory, then theoretically you can close the jaws of the crocodile for some time, thinking this is a good theory, till one gets too tired and then the jaws open, you're eaten. Anything else? Kala Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.